I share the scripture with you this morning from Luke 24th chapter, 1st to 12th verse. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling white clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" Then they remembered his word. And in returning to the tomb, they told all of this to the 11 and all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to be idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooped and looked in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let me offer a word of prayer, and then after that, I have several words of thanks to offer. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock, our redeemer, our risen Savior. Amen. I want you to take a moment and turn to the person next to you and give them a high five and say, "Happy Easter." Now turn to your second choice and give them a high five and a happy Easter as well. It's game time, isn't it? This has been an amazing journey of a week here at St. Paul's. We began a week ago with Freckles the Donkey by our circular staircase celebrating Palm Sunday and Jesus' procession into Jerusalem. Over the last week, our choir members have had sleeping bags and have slept in the choir room and in the choir loft preparing for the music of Tenebrae and of this morning. We gathered in Hickey Hall and we found ourselves through our open door Holy Thursday service in the upper room. We weren't just in Hickey Hall. We were transported in time to Jerusalem to that meal of love that Jesus offered his disciples. Good Friday, we were in Ricker Chapel at 12:30 remembering Jesus' crucifixion. Friday evening, we were in awe in the midst of the Mass, Dr. Ulrich's Mass, as we celebrated our Tenebrae service, our service of shadows here within the sanctuary. Saturday morning, April 20th, 2019, a day that a year ago seemed like it would have to be a spring day. 42 degrees. Okay, spring in Michigan. Our Easter egg hunt was still warm and dry in 72 because we did it inside. Amazing energy watching our children and watching their parents and everyone who was participating in that help bring joy to that special very dry, very warm morning within the church. And then our open door Easter service, because Easter is too big of a deal to just wait till Sunday morning. We've been blessed. Our celebration committee with our Easter Lily Cross and the work they did to prepare some of the visuals for this morning. The work of Dr. Rando, our director of music, and our choirs, our music teams, and all so many of each one of you, volunteers and servants of Jesus Christ, who gave of your time, your talent, and your treasure to help us celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not just this morning, but every other day as well. I say thank you. I say thank you for the privilege of being in this journey with you, of this time to celebrate the power of God to transform our lives, The question that I love in this account from the Gospel of Luke is, why do you seek the living among the dead? And isn't that the question? How often, in the midst of life's struggles, anxieties, and worries, in the midst of the challenges we may face, do we seek comfort in those things that offer no life? My friends, it's the power of addiction that draws us into those things that so focus our hearts and minds, but they in themselves are empty. There's nothing to them. But to be honest, Mary Magdalene and the other women knew no other place to go because this was the place where they expected Jesus' body to be. They were present on that agonizing Good Friday. They heard his last words, "It is finished." They saw him take his last breath. You see, they knew death. They'd seen death. They'd seen the death of children, of youth and adults. They'd seen death because of war, of starvation. They had seen the death caused by the terror of the Romans known as crucifixion. They knew death. And they knew this, that when somebody dies and you prepare their body, you place it in a tomb, you close the entrance to the tomb, and the body doesn't move from that location. It stays there. So it is not a surprise that this is where they go, because this is what they're used to. This is the way the world works. The dead stay dead. With heavy hearts they go. But in a moment there's that fear of, why is the tomb open? Why has that stone been moved? Where are those who were supposed to be guarding this tomb because Pilate and the religious leaders were concerned that his body might be stolen? Where are they? They seem to have disappeared as well. So they look. Because in some ways, how much worse can the situation be? Not only is he dead, have they come now and desecrated his burial place? This is crazy. It's unreal. And so they look. And what they see is nothing. They see nobody. They see no body. But there are these messengers, as Luke tells us. There is this statement, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen." In that very moment, in that moment of time, we move to a place that we have lived in ever since then. We were born into this moment. We'll take our last breath in this moment. But for them, they had never experienced this moment before. That is the presence of the risen Savior, of Jesus alive. That this tomb would be a tomb for nobody and for no body. This tomb was a reminder that death was dead. That a new day, a beautiful new day, had begun. And the angel says something very fascinating too. The angel reminds them by saying this. He says, "Remember what he said. Remember what he told you." And Luke says in such a beautiful way, very simple language, they remembered his words. All of a sudden, those words that Jesus said, the teachings that they had experienced, and Mary Magdalene, one of his disciples, had been there all along. Now they knew that those words were not just merely words. They were words of life. They were words from the very Word of God. And they remembered. And in that memory, birth faith. In that remembering, birth their witness. As they went forth to tell the disciples and the rest of the world what they had experienced. Now, Peter, understandably, is not sure what to think. We're not going to criticize him because I think I'd be standing there alongside of him too going, what is going on? How could this be? But isn't that how God works? Doesn't God work in that way, in that how can this be kind of moment? When we think that the door is always going to stay closed, or when we think the path we're on is never going to change, when we think the dying is always going to continue, Jesus brings life. He steps into our lives. He gathers our hurting hearts and minds, and he says, you're not dying anymore. You are alive. You are not lonely anymore. I am with you. And you are not unloved anymore, ignored or forgotten. For you are my beloved brother and sister. We experience a glimpse of Easter when we enter into those moments when all things become new. When those doors of opportunity, of new birth, of new life occur in our lives in a way that we could never have experienced or imagined. In those moments, we stand there like Mary Magdalene and the other disciples, amazed that he is not there. His body is not in the tomb, but instead, he is alive as he has said. The greatest evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not the tomb, although when you have an opportunity to go to Jerusalem and go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and see what is believed to be, at least traditionally, the tomb, it's powerful and it's amazing. But the fact that the tomb is empty is not the greatest evidence of the resurrection. It is the witness of those who follow Jesus Christ. It's you. It's how God's grace is at work within your lives. It is how you are engaged in acts of service, of sacrifice, of compassion and love. In those moments, you are revealing the power of Jesus Christ to transform the world, our lives, and our community. It's amazing. It's amazing the power that God has given us out of God's grace into our lives to live out this good news in a way that would bring life and light to the world around us. It's like how beautiful it was this morning following all of the rain the last couple days. Seeing the sun rise in blue sky, and it's still blue, was incredible this morning. That is the power of Jesus at work in you and in me. This day is the game changer day in the history of the world. This day is the moment that all things become different. Because this is the day that says it doesn't always have to be the same thing. God says, let it be new. Let it be new. Those things that we need to set aside and cast off, we need to let go of and begin anew. What is holding us back in our journeys of faith, what is holding us back in our growth as people, we need to let go of those things and walk anew. Be the new people that God is calling us to be. Sometimes I think the greatest challenge of Easter is that we get too used to thinking Jesus is still in the tomb. Because that's what we're used to. And yet Jesus stands outside of that tomb, reaching out to us saying, live like you're alive. Live like you're me. Stop dying. Wonderful words in the Shawshank Redemption. Get busy living. Get busy embracing this good news that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Not good news just for ourselves, but a good news that is to be shared with everyone around us. You saw in the video earlier from the Methodist Children's Home Society, our commitment as a church to be in partnership with the Methodist Children's Home Society, to be engaged in mission and ministry there to help those children who are in the midst of experiencing Easter moments through the Children's Home Society, through the love that they receive and those opportunities then to be adopted. What an amazing Easter story. To go from feeling like my life is a mystery and my life is uncertain to finding out and being reminded that you are as loved as God could possibly love you. Children may be experiencing the power of love in the very first time in their lives. It's being in partnership with Redbird Mission in Kentucky through our adult work trip. And the opportunity that we have as adults in the fall to go and to help rebuild homes. Because homes don't have to keep falling apart. We can help rebuild. We can help strengthen those homes and strengthen a family. It's our youth going this June to South Dakota for their work trip at a Native American reservation. Reminder that we have a lot of pain in this country. We've done a lot of dying, and we've helped other people die and not live. And an opportunity in a small way, in a cross-cultural experience, to engage in being life for each other. Not only what our youth will be bringing to that reservation, but what the Native Americans will be bringing to our youth. An understanding, an appreciation, and a resiliency that is so strong and so powerful. That's the power of the resurrection. Because Easter is not just a day, it's a season, but Easter is a lifestyle. Easter is a choice. Easter is discipleship. It's the ways in which we commit to love and care for each other. So my prayer is this. May your lives be filled with Easter. May the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ be alive in you so you feel it. Let it be that crackling energy within you that motivates you to make a difference, to help those around you, to be a support in our community for those who are in need, to engage. And to not just react to life, but to live the very life that you've been given. Today is an amazing day. Today is a beautiful day. Today is an awesome day. Today is a day in which we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is a good, good day. May you live that joy. May you share that joy. May you be another reason why someone who is far from God experiences the presence of Jesus Christ and takes a step toward God. You are the bearers of this good news. You are the keepers of the story. Share it. Live it. Help others to know it. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you so much for your resurrection in Jesus Christ, that you are alive as you said, that you have kept your promise. Lord, inspire us to receive this good news and to live it. Help us to be bold in our love and in our grace. Indeed, you are alive in us. You are alive in this world. Help us to see you this day, to follow you. Help us to be your beloved brothers and sisters. We lift this prayer to you, O Jesus. Amen. Amen.